Okay, Greg, you can start.
It's now 7:37 on Tuesday, April the 19th, the third Tuesday of the month. And this is ANC 1D, which is in session observing a quorum of Jack McKay, Jasmine, China, and myself, Greg Edwards. We traditionally start the rounds starting in the commission's left-hand corner of forward. So if you wish to come in early in your comments, well, you can arrange your seating. Yes. So, by our usual pattern, we'll start with Chris Sutton.
Okay, I am Chris Sutton.
Hello, everybody. What is this, just introductions, or?
If you start off, we ask that you, for the record, give two names, and then you have 3 minutes.
Okay. I am Chris Ogden. I am a former commissioner out of Adams Morgan. I've been watching the library. You probably have seen that they're starting to put up the metal girders, which is kind of scary because they haven't really prepared the community for a pre-fire plan in case during their construction period. And the building is very close to these other buildings that are there without sprinkler systems. And so I've just been out taking pictures, and I hope this week we can go into court and try to stop them, at least to try to get a fire safety plan with the new chief, the new fire chief for the area. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gladys Mitchell. And in fact, I saw Jack today in my block. Yes. I saw Jack in my block today, so he and I were concerned about some posters that had gone up, both sides, saying that nobody can park during the day for 3 days. So Jack, I think I saw him later, and he informed me that he had called about it. Then when I went back the next time, all of the posters had been taken down except the one in front of my house and my next door neighbors. So I'm wondering if Jack has any more information about those signs and why they're there, what's going to happen.
Okay, this has to do with the emergency no parking signs, and we have complained for a long time that the signs go up and they don't give it any indication of who put them up or why. And these appear on Kilbourn Place, and I am dreadfully sorry to advise you that they're all still there, including those across the street, half of your block, both sides. I complained to Department of Transportation, and I did get a reply from them that they will send an inspector out to examine them, not because the emergency no parking signs are improper, we don't know that, but they should tell you who put them there, and they should provide a phone number so that you can call and find out about them. That's required by law. It's been required by law since 2006, and our district contractors ignore the law. So I'm hoping to see a little bit of action on that. Thank you for that. But I'm sorry, all those posts, all those no signs, no parking signs, they're still there. No, I am. I went by there after you called. I went by there after you called. Yes, ma'am.
This Sunday?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, commissioners. My name is Juan Gray. I'm from the office of Council Member at Large Michael A. Brown. I'm also a Mount Pleasant resident. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Barbara Cameron. I'm a business owner here in Mount Pleasant. I have two announcements. The first, one of the business owners, Ramona Arias, just opened a gallery at 1303. It's an art gallery, 1303 Mount Pleasant Street, and she asked me to ask all of you to support her. There's some beautiful art there on the wall, and she just opened it. Well, she had been selling art for a little while, but officially she opened the gallery this month. The other announcement is that I am the director of a foundation, Walk in My Shoes Global Project, and we donate shoes to children all over the world that don't have shoes, and my husband is the dental director of a foundation called Healing Hands. He travels to different parts of the world, developing countries mostly, and provides dental care to children, and some adults don't have access to any health care at all. We're going to be traveling to Sierra Leone in June, so we're going to have a fundraiser in order to take shoes as well as provide dental care. And there are going to be some surgeons that will be going with us as well to perform some very necessary surgeries there. We're going to have a fundraiser. It's going to be called Salsa Night, Dance for a Cause. It's scheduled for Thursday, April 28th at Don Juan's restaurant. Next time it's going to be in Heidi's. From 6 to 10 o'clock. We're going to have a professional dancer there for all of you who say you don't know how to dance, but I'm sure all of you can dance. But anyway, those of you that feel like you can't do salsa, we'll have a professional dancer there to teach you the steps for an hour, and then the rest of the evening, you're on your own. Thank you very much. It starts at 6, and from what we're saying now, it'll end at 10, but we'll see.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming to this meeting. My name is Heidi, and I'm a business owner and a resident. Today I'm here to follow up my petition for loading zone, and I hope I can get the support and any good opinions to go directly to find any solution to get this loading zone. We apply on, we submit the signature on February 28th. In the previous meeting with informal 38, musicians came and support and asked for help. And I hope tonight we can pass a better resolution or encourage to the DDOT to go forward, because so far it's about 4 months and I didn't hear anything. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mario Ernesto. Heidi's restaurant owner and also resident of Mount Pleasant. Once again, we are here begging the agency for support again. We asking if you can pass this new resolution that we, Commissioner Greg Edwards, is submitting tonight Commissioner Jasmine, to ask the DDOT to expedite the replacement of the loading zone and bus stop so that many people can benefit from down at 3100 block of Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
My name is Claudia Schlossberg, Mount Pleasant resident. I'm actually here for two reasons. Thank you, Jack, for sending out notice that the zoning, you're going to be voting on the zoning variances for the property on 18th Street under development. I recall that Grant Epstein, the developer, said many months ago when he was here, he would work with the community and let us all know. We had a meeting, and he has all our emails. And I haven't heard, you know, we haven't heard a thing. I live right across the street from the property. So just to, I appreciate the fact that you, Jack, are keeping us informed. It'd be nice if we had a little bit more notice, but I don't think that's your necessary responsibility. If anything, if you could do anything to encourage Mr. Epstein to let close by neighbors know what's going on in the property, we'd appreciate it. Secondly, I'm pleased to announce that here Mount Pleasant is active again. We've been meeting the second Monday of every month here at La Casa. We are organizing ourselves to help not only promote but preserve the victories that and protect the victories that we achieved this year in finally terminating the voluntary agreements that banned live music and placed other restrictions on our local businesses. And so we're planning two events to celebrate. One is the same week as yours, but on Tuesday night. We're having family night at Don Juan's from 6 to 8 on Tuesday, April 26th. We're going to have three puppet shows, and Lilo Gonzalez, who is a fabulous local resident entertainer extraordinaire, will be basically entertaining children, and it'll be a very family-friendly night. And then we're planning a second event, May 12th, which will be at Hades, which will be more adult-oriented, a little later in the evening, different types of music. But we are concerned that having won these victories, that they may be at risk. So we're looking at, you know, some of the legislation that may be happening in the council. But we also think it's important that, you know, we help promote the cultural life and diversity of the neighborhood. So hopefully you'll be seeing more events and more activities going forward. And I have some posters here if anybody wants them, or flyers if anybody wants them. Please take them and help promote this event. Thank you.
Concerning that development on at 18th and Monroe, the variance turns out to have to do only with the carriage house, not with the main house, not with the main property. So it seems to have very little impact on the matters that concern you. I'm looking for more information about this, but as I say, the problem seems to be that the carriage house does not have adequate side yard or rear yard, and that seems fairly irrelevant to the overall project. I should say that we may consider that in May. I really don't know whether we will or not, because it seems to be, from my point of view, in my opinion, truly inconsequential.
Wayne Kahn, former ANC member and also founder, one of the founders of Here Mount Pleasant. Second everything that Claudia said, and Here Mount Pleasant couldn't have done it without the ANC, and the ANC couldn't have done it without Here Mount Pleasant. So we thank the ANC for all of the support along the way, and we just try to make everything better now.
I'm DJ Guanaco. I'm here to listen and for most part support Haiti and the mission of getting the loading zone. And thank you.
Sorry, I'm Reed Willis. I'm part of the neighborhood, and I'm here for also for Canaan Baptist Church at 16th and Monroe Street. And I do have some flyers for Miss Castillo to give out to the folks in her area, because we do have, there's a parking in front of the church, and you know, we just want to make sure that the neighbors there know that we have, you know, there's restricted parking in front of the church between 7 and 2 only on Sundays. So we don't want nobody else to get tickets for it. But the police are being very vigilant about it.
Thank you all. I suggest we move immediately to the Secretary's report.
Okay, I have submitted the minutes of the March meeting to the Commissioners. Are there any corrections offered to the minutes of the March 15th minutes?
Seeing none, I declare them accepted.
Then that's about all I have to say is for the Secretary's report. Thank you.
Can we address issues on the website while talking about the Secretary?
Why not?
Okay. I have one small suggestion.
Sure.
And that is that for several days I looked for where the open agenda link would be, and I didn't find it anywhere until I finally noticed that it was in a tab, a pull-down on a tab. And I would like to suggest that it be placed immediately and apparently in the main page.
I find that pull-down tab a bit awkward because you've got to be off to the side. It's a little strange. So you want it as a main entry instead of a secondary entry?
Right, because we've had some misunderstandings because
okay.
I honestly tried to find it, but and I never thought it would. It never occurred to me to look under a tab.
I will take care of that. Yes.
Good. Thank you. And I still find perhaps you can put some little letters, small, normal, middle, and larger, so people can see. Will be reminded that if they find it hard to see the small print, they can enlarge it.
It's easy enough with browsers to zoom in on anything.
Still, it makes it easier to remind people of it. Not everybody is familiar with those things.
Yeah.
I'm actually okay with the font size, or I want to comment on this. This is the
you're recognized.
Okay. So I'm actually okay with the font size, and I know my eyesight's really bad, and I actually do enlarge everything on my computer typically. But I think the font size works, and I agree with Jack to the extent that people can control what size it needs to be from their individual computers.
Jasmine?
I think it's better if you put it in a more large, but I don't see that it's a small one. If I can, yeah, I say I support to Greg Edwards, you know.
So you want to have a larger font,
yes,
rather than assuming that the user can zoom in on it.
I'm only suggesting that the three icons be put there, a small a medium size A, and a larger A, to remind people that if they're having trouble seeing it, they can, with one click, go to a larger font.
I'll look into that.
It's pretty common, and it's suggested in accessibility standards because we all differ in our degree of ability. Treasurer's report.
Just on that last comment, yeah, I agree. If it's just like on Gmail where you have like a little A, big A, medium A, or what have you, then that's totally fine. That works for me. But I agree with Greg's suggestion of the open agenda. Where is that on the website?
You have to go to the main tab, and it pops up when you go to the right side of the tab.
Oh.
It's a little awkward, I agree.
Oh, okay, right. All right, okay, I see. Yeah, and so I agree with Greg's comment there.
Sounds like we have general agreement.
Yeah.
What a good way to start this meeting.
It won't last. Treasurer's report?
Treasurer's report.
Let's see. We're still waiting for that missing allotment check. They promised it to us. It will show up someday. I have checks written to Tony Grillo, $100 for posters, and La Casa, $150 for the rental of this room. I presume there is no objection to those two payments.
Seeing none.
Okay. Approved. And there is a matter of the quarterly report. I have distributed that to all of the commissioners. There have been no comments in response to that quarterly report. Can I have an approval of that?
Let's do it informally. Seeing none, I declare it approved.
Let's have an explicit vote, please. I think that
anyone can call for a vote. All in favor, raise your hands.
Okay,
4-0.
Thank you. So that takes care of.
Now, all four commissioners present voting yes.
Then that concludes the Treasury report.
All right, we move to unfinished business. There's only one item. I would like to move an amendment. And I have done so to try to collaborate with Jack and show that we can work together. And so there is he has suggested a large shortening and cleanup of it, and it is item 5. So I move this amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? China.
Okay. Do we have the amendment up?
Yeah, I think we should take the time to go through this.
Jack, since your eyes are apparently better than mine, would you...
Resolve ANC Wendy advises the Council of the District of Columbia to bring about the following 6 headline propositions and changes to the Board of Zoning Adjustment. This resolution of advice is also addressed to the Zoning Commission and to the Board of Zoning Adjustment. The Y section below is an equal part of the 6-part statement of the heading, and its many points should be answered in particularity. Number 1, expand membership on the BZA and increase the compensation for non-government employees who serve as members to $40 an hour while working at the BZA office on BZA business. At least 2 members of the BZA should be selected for staggered 4-year terms. Require the BZA to schedule at least 9 hearings a year at night. 2, subject the BZA patterns of operation to review by the Zoning Commission.
Excuse me, perhaps I can make my own friendly amendment in this and it can be included while we're considering it. I'm suggesting that the BZA should be elected, not selected.
Elected. Okay, then number 1, you're simply deleting
the S.
Okay, so that changes that to read, at least 2 members of the BZA should be elected for staggered 4-year terms.
Thank you.
2, subject to BZA patterns of operation to review by the Zoning Commission with appeals from ANCs on patterns of behavior to be considered immediately. Appeals against any or all board members should be allowed by any hearing participant directly to the Zoning Commission after a sincere mediation. Make BZA board members subject to the DC Code on Employee Behavior, which requires avoidance of any bias or appearance of bias. 3, require the BZA to emulate the practices of the Historic Preservation Review Board, the Alcohol May I change this to alcoholic?
Please.
It's the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
You're such a good editor. Huh?
Yes. And the Public Service Commission to institute staff services that can expedite most cases, clarify the issues, alternatives, interest groups, and consequences before a BZA hearing.
May I suggest that before be made italic?
Ah. Where is... Oh, okay, there we go. Before you want.
It's in the...
Okay.
It's in the middle line, four lines above and below the bottom.
I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Let me see about... there we go. Make cases arising subject to staff analysis and recommendation, as is done by the Historic Preservation Review Board. Require that impacted advisory and neighborhood commissions be notified upon arising. 4. Require that transcription services include quality control checks of every word by a third party, and that transcripts be available normally within a week. Require responses to cases by the various parties no sooner than 10 full business days after the transcript becomes available to all. 5. Change the district code and laws supporting BZA to emphasize that the role of the BZA is to assure that zoning administrator decisions consider as paramount the stated intents of the zoning code. Require BZA to make a signed statement that, on rational balance, the intents are served without overly focusing on the details of law. Any amount of judgment or discretion must be noted and reference made to the evidence-based arguments for those. These at least should trigger notice to the affected ANCs. Require provision of transparent and responsible documentation for all reports and recommendations given by other parties, and that these be easily available by web searches, except perhaps for a few exceptions to preserve some privacy or security concerns which can be met by signed confidentiality statements by parties like ANCs with direct interest. Require that the BZA assure that all operations are with clean hands, that is, that no laws are broken, and specifically that impacted ANCs have been notified as soon as possible and their resolutions addressed within the framework of settled law. Repudiate the DCRA's argument that the ZA's judgment must be given great weight, requiring the BZA to just accept them. 6. Prohibit bias of future cases by prior BZA rulings unless the policies are published and confirmed by the DC Council.
Thank you. Discussion.
Okay, on 1, help me understand, because I have a couple of questions here. Initially, this said selected instead of elected. Why is it that we want the members of the Board of Zoning Adjustment to be elected instead of selected? Because if you have, you know, you win campaigns by fundraising a lot of times. And so is this a situation where just big developers will finance the people who they want to win, and then the voices that you're seeking to protect in this process lose?
I think that's corruption. And that the point of this is to of an independent board is to insulate the board from direct electoral politics. In addition, I've been told by several board members of some of these independent boards that they have to wait until what the mayor says, because they know that if they do not go along with mayors or there are important contributors, that they will never get funding for their projects again. They will be frozen out. And this is directly contrary to the intents of the progressive movement in setting up independent boards. Another point is that DC has very few elected officials, and thus in races, in contest for the few powerful positions we have, there's usually a pretty shallow field of people with experience.
I'm not supporting the election change because I don't understand, for example, why we would have a separate election for the members of the Board of Zoning Adjustment as opposed to any other board or commission. And then I feel as well as though that's a topic that was just raised just now when you just did that edit from election to selection, which is a pretty big change. And then I'm still not convinced that that we'll get the expertise that we need through an electoral process, nor am I convinced that big developers then won't control who ends up on the BIZA. But I did have another question, because I know that in that same provision you're suggesting the staggered terms, but under the law the terms are already staggered. So maybe they're not 4 years, but they're 3-year terms that are already staggered by statute. So is the 4-year term meant to accomplish something else that the current law doesn't already address?
It is. It is to align the elections of the BZA members with the other general elections so that it will attract a broad and perhaps more balanced group of voters. I'd like to point out that the original draft submitted 2 months ago included the word elected, so this change is not recent, and it should be no surprise. I've seen studies that say that the intent of doing this by qualifications 100 years ago was that only a few percent of the population of most cities had college degrees and any specialized training. Now, D.C. has twice the amount, almost certainly over half of the population of D.C. has a lot of college, and something huge, like a quarter have master's degrees and above. So generally, you very seldom find people that don't have credentials. And secondly, those that do have usually shown by their record of accomplishments that they've earned wisdom in life. Let me also mention that this ANC has urged elections to the various boards and commissions in many other cases. So this is not singling out this by itself. Jack.
Yeah, I think I must have assumed that you meant selected. So I changed that to selected. I think the notion of making members of any board publicly elected is quite radical. It's not done on the ABC board or a Sierra Preservation Review board. And I think that's a fairly important and questionable approach. I'm not sure that I would support publicly elected board members.
Let me ask
in general that we all speak slowly for the benefit of our interpreter.
All right. May I ask if I am speaking too rapidly to you, interpreter? Yeah. Is my pace of speech too rapid?
It's okay. If you can talk a little bit slower, it's better.
In general, okay.
Of course.
Good. Let me say that because we have voted on this before and has been presented at quite a few council hearings over many years, I have had the occasion to speak with perhaps half or over half of DC council members, and generally they have supported the idea as a good one because they recognize that we have a shallow bench. So let me, would you like China to second what I would take as a proposed amendment by Jack to revert to the word as selected?
I have not formally offered an amendment.
No, but
I'm simply pointing out that I think the resolution is hard to accept when it includes this radical change of election instead of selection. Personally, I think the mayor who does the selection would object strenuously to this approach. And I'm not sure that we really want our board members to be politicians.
That's why I wanted to see if to put it up to for a vote to the commission and see if others would agree with that point. I've made the case that it is progressive, and I don't think it's radical, but it is progressive, and it's in keeping with the ideals of progressive movement all over the country to elect these kinds of boards. But I will, if you will allow me to consider it as an amendment, then we can see how the commission feels about it.
I think that's a good idea. Then, yes, I will make that motion that elected be changed to selected.
Fine. And in the interest of doing that, I will second your motion, simply as common courtesy. Okay. Well, I think we've had discussion on this. Well, there's
actually,
more.
Actually, I have more questions about it. So,
right.
I mean, I actually need that coming because this contains a lot. I think there are 6 points here, and so it's helpful for me actually to have you walk through each one. So I know that we've covered the first one, but I think that Yasmin also wanted to say something, but I need more discussion on this.
Sure. This is not to cut that off. It is simply as we go through it to walk through and to do so in an orderly and patently fair way. Okay. So is there discussion on this point? Further discussion or questions about elected versus selected? Jasmine.
Okay. For me, it's very good. You gave for election because we know that sometimes with the selection, that some people put somebody else. All the time with that, they say people. It's better if we involve, you know, the community. The community vote for the community need and the same position. This is agree election, no selection.
Good.
There is too many, you say the word, corruption.
Corruption.
Corruption and selection is better to election. Thank you.
Thank you. May I project first?
Were you going to respond to Jasmine?
Well, I was going to add one piece, and that is that in too many cases, from private conversations with a number of the boards, I've been told too often that the fix is in. And I'm sick of this ANC, where we put years or even a decade or more into trying to fix a situation, and we cannot because the system is corrupt. Jack.
Well, what worries me is that when you make them elected officials, then they have to campaign for election, which means they got to raise funds, which opens the door to financial influence. So I think this is a very unfortunate way to go about this particular board.
We may come back and consider it after we march all the way through to see how the general feeling is going. Would you mind that we... So, ready for a vote? All in favor of the proposal to replace the S.
And this is not the vote on the full amendment.
That's correct. It's a sub amendment. It's an amendment to the amendment.
To be clear, this is a vote on the amendment to change the word elected, deselected, and that's all.
Yes. Thank you, Jack. All in favor, you want to...
Just, yeah, I have significant concerns about the entire amendment, and so just putting that out there, you know, even though I know that we're voting on it just a small piece right now.
What amendment are we talking about?
Excuse me, not the amendment, but the entire
the
resolution.
Motion. Okay, yes,
that's, yep, so, yeah, that's good to clarify, the entire resolution.
The main motion is an amendment to a motion that was tabled...
Actually, we should have had a vote on the amendment to substitute the text. I think we have taken that as assumed, that we dispense with the original text, replace it with this as your amendment.
I don't believe so.
But
that's why I asked. I made a motion to replace. I got a second, thank you. And now we are in discussion of this. So there is a little bit of informality to this.
But I think this is confusing the process, because I don't think we want to go back to the original form at all. What we want to do is consider this form, and the motion to amendment, consisting of replacing the text, can be done without passing this resolution, which is China's concern.
Well, let's have a vote on that, because we're working under somewhat informal rules, just to clarify that the purpose of this process now is not to vote on the original motion, but purely to vote on the substituted motion.
That's right. This is Greg's motion to substitute this text for the text that was posed last month. That's all. Just a substitution of the text. I will certainly second that motion.
Okay. All in favor of this process? 4-0. Unanimous.
Okay. Thank you. Now that cleans things up. Good. Now we have just this text to consider, and the motion on the floor is to change that one word from elected to selected.
Correct. And a vote on this. All in favor of Jack's motion? 2. All of.
Sorry. All in favor of the motion to, what are we doing?
To change the word elected to selected.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm voting in favor of changing elected to selected.
Okay, it is 2. All opposed? 2. Jack's motion fails. Now, apparently we are now considering headline 2. How would it please the commission to handle this? Should we reread it?
No, we don't need to reread it if we're asking me, but I can ask you my specific question if that's okay.
All right.
So on part 2, we're talking about appealing actions of the board members, of the BISM members rather, actions of the members of the Board of Zoning Adjustment directly to the Zoning Commission?
Right.
Instead of the Court of Appeals?
Yes.
Okay, why is that necessary? I mean, I see it here, but I'm not tracking that's actually helpful to what it is that you want to accomplish, especially since a member of the Zoning Commission typically sits on the Board of Zoning Adjustment.
Sure, but it's only one member and not the full commission. And we can see in recent cases that often they're deadlocked. Here's the reasoning. And it was earlier, I think, addressed in a why. And that is that there's currently no recourse except for a very slow and expensive application to the Court of Appeals. And what this usually means is that the action then is delayed for several years. It's extremely expensive, so only the very rich can usually afford to do that. And usually the building is already built. And historically, the Court of Appeals has been reluctant to reverse to cause an expensive building to be torn down. So essentially, the BZA, although it is subject to court review, is not. And this point does not interrupt at all with the content of the decision. It is the method by which they are operating. So in this case, it is pointed out that members of the BZA can express extreme bias immediately before hearing the evidence. And that is, since they receive money, that is contrary to the code of conduct for employee behavior, and yet there's no enforcement for it. So they are free to do almost anything they want, essentially without recourse. And this provides a mediation and alternative dispute resolution system, and then a more timely decision. China.
Okay, here's my concern. I'm not supportive of this provision, and here's why. The members of the Board of Zoning Adjustment are approved by the council. And so even if a matter of behavior or something like this were to be appealed to the Zoning Commission, the Zoning Commission doesn't have any authority to take any action against a member of the Board of Zoning Adjustment. Only the council, I mean, the recourse, so far as I see it, is that that member just could not be reappointed, and perhaps the council could introduce some, you know, special legislation to have a particular member removed. But I'm not certain that having an appeal go to the Zoning Commission, which has no authority over the appointment or the conduct of the Board of Zoning Adjustment members, is helpful. My second concern is that this number two assumes that...
May I answer at this point? I think
well,
I can do so.
Well, hold on for 1 second, because okay. It's really quick. So you can answer both at the same time. So my second thing is, point number two, it seems to assume that there's no kind of behavioral guideline or something like this for the Board of Zoning Adjustment members, when it actually, under the DCMR, the Board of Zoning Adjustment members are bound by decorum and good order conduct, which prohibits any kind of loud, threatening, abusive language or any disorderly or disruptive conduct or anything that somehow like impedes a meeting or a hearing or other proceeding.
Section 108.
Of official business. Exactly. So I don't think that number two is necessary, nor do I think that it's legally appropriate.
All right. Let me answer those two points. Because I spent many years talking with people about this. Number one, the opening of this resolution asks the DC Council to make changes in the code towards these points. I actually introduced these points to a council hearing, and Kwame Brown, chairing it, asked the newly designated or the apparent new chair of the Zoning Commission, Tony Hood, to look into this and see if it could be resolved in other ways. I've talked with the staff person assigned to this, and he said that he would be interested in seeing specific examples of this or having an ANC resolution, because they are open to correcting concerns about this. And the primary point is that things can be built or destroyed without any recourse, and 2 years is sometimes too long when thousands of people are affected. Because the board, and there are quite a few commissioners around the city, including one that met with Tony Hood and myself, testified to him that all the complaints that I had made personally were in fact corroborated by their experience, and that and I've gone to other hearings of complaints about BZA, and they've made similar kinds of concerns. So this is a persistent concern that can deal with thousands of people, and it needs the Section 108 needs some recourse, because going to appeals court does not work. Jack.
What is meant by BZA patterns of operation?
In other words, that is shorthand, and I'm not a lawyer. But typically when I've worked with council members on these things, they know how to translate that language into language the council is comfortable with. And this is to say that it is not content. We don't appeal. The proposal here is not to appeal specific rulings by the BZA about saying to pass a particular, to approve a zoning change or not, but the method used by the BZA. So if the BZA ignores evidence or refuses to allow an ANC to present its points, which it has done, then that pattern of procedure can be appealed in the same way that a judge's proceedings can be appealed immediately when it prejudices a case, can be appealed to a superior court. So this is not issues of fact, but issues of procedure. If the word procedure, which is the more common legal term, would satisfy you, I'm happy to accept that as a friendly amendment.
I would think I would support that, yes, that procedures would be more understandable.
Would you please make that change?
So it now reads, subject to BCA procedures to review by the Zoning Commission.
Yes. Does that, that I think include instances of, perhaps the insertion of procedures and instances of procedures would be, would make it clearer. Because otherwise it might be mistaken to believe that their formally stated procedures are only subject to appeal, rather than instances of their procedures. Because right now, my experience and that of many others is that it's a kangaroo court.
How does one translate kangaroo court into Spanish?
I have one more question. And it just has to do with the great weight piece, because in the regulations I already see that this is required to give ANCs great weight.
However, they don't. What they do, because this point was also raised in discussions with Tony Hood and with Kwame Brown, and the issue is that, like many other independent boards and commissions, they think by mentioning the ANC resolution, they have addressed the ANC resolution. However, the law and settled law from appeals courts, of which there are now a very large literature, says that every point must be addressed in particularity. And there are a number of other, I won't pad the discussion to go through. There is a pretty good checklist of things that they must do. And they can't get away by just listing some of the main points and saying, we read them, but we're not convinced. So that's what they do. And they think that it's addressing, but it is not. Jack.
A friendly amendment. Instead of referring to appeals from ANCs on patterns of behavior, complaints from ANCs concerning patterns of behavior.
Accepted. Good. China, would you like to proceed to the...
Point of information on when you change complaints there, I think you would also then need to change it in the second sentence. So where it says appeals against any or all board members, because it's not been an appeal, it's a complaint from the ANC against the board member.
I accept it. I'm glad we're working so collegially on this. We may not totally agree, but at least we're clear and explicit. And thank you for your inquiry.
Okay, I have changed that to read complaints concerning any or all board members. Is that correct?
Sure. You have a better, you have another suggestion?
You need to see it's spelling error.
There's a laser pointer there on the table.
Yes. Right here, you just see complaints concerning. It's small. You would have caught it. It doesn't.
I would have. Maybe I would have got it, but that's okay. Thank you.
That's what we're doing this for.
I said I had only one last question, but, you know...
it's okay.
I'm not... When we say require the visit to emulate the practices of the Historic Preservation Review Board, the alcoholic beverage... I mean, this is just the patchwork. We want them to emulate the practices of three other disparate separate boards. I mean, well, I don't feel that that's giving any clear guidance whatsoever to what it is that we're asking the visit to emulate, what those practices
well, it
are,
is,
and
it
whether...
It is clarified in the rest of the sentence.
Because of the interpreter. Whether those patterns from each of those three disparate boards can even be meshed together.
Okay. I take that as a good suggestion, and I would like to propose a solution to this. The following better practices used in part by the following by the boards. So after the word emulate, you put the following better practices. And then after Public Service Commission, I put a period, and they say, and say these practices include. Instituting staff services, and I think the rest reads. And thank you for helping me break that long sentence into parts. Josh.
Okay, this is still awkward. Because you refer to the following better practices, and then you say these practices include. The structure isn't quite...
Please make a suggestion.
I think we were better off with this as a single sentence.
Well, or how about this, Jack? After Public Service Commission, (1), or A... Institutes staff services. B, make cases arising. C, require. China, do you think those changes would help?
I think those help.
Good.
I still have a lot of concerns about the resolution, though.
Oh, I'm not asking whether you're satisfied, but only incremental progress. And I appreciate the collegiality by which you are helping make a proposal the best proposal it can be, even though you may not support it. I take that as very collegial. Thank you.
Jack. What do you mean by upon arising?
The point is that very often the issues come to the attention of the board early and they're handled by the staff and no one notifies us, whereas the Historic Preservation and Review staff has a pattern of almost immediately calling up or sending a message to RANC and telling us, oh, you should know that this is under discussion. And so we don't know about this sometimes until very late and at the last minute, and sometimes well after construction has begun.
But doesn't anything at the BZA begin with filing an appeal?
It is my impression that when it actually begins when the informal inquiries are start very often with attorneys and the formal appeal is decided later after discussion with some of the staff. I've spoken to the to some of the staff of the BZA, and they have told me that sometimes months go by in informal discussion, and it creates an asymmetric situation.
Then let me suggest that this be put in plainer English.
Good.
That impacted advisory neighborhood commissions be notified as soon as the board is notified, as soon as the board becomes aware of an issue.
Good. Would you accept in this or its staff?
Okay. Require that impacted advisory neighborhood commissions be notified as soon as the board or its staff becomes aware of an issue.
Good. And this is part C, right?
I made them 1, 2, 3.
That's okay. If they're in parens, they'll be distinguished.
Yeah.
Again, my eyes are too bad to see, to read the screen. Good. Shall we proceed to... the reason this is so long is we have had over a decade in Mount Pleasant to observe the miscarriages of this system. And there are lots of loopholes. Shall we go on to point four? Do you have comments or suggestions or critiques of point four, headline four?
My concern with point four is that it's not practical, and I don't think that there's money to implement it. So, for example, number four requires a quality control check of every word by a third party. So is that suggesting that beyond the person making the transcript, that the government then has to send out that transcript to a third party for verification? I just don't think that the way that it's worded lends to any kind of a reasonable way to implement it. A cost-effective way to implement, and I don't think it would be a wise use of government resources.
Okay, let me answer that. Number one, the intent is that the services include quality control, not that the government agency do the quality control. Next, I've spoken to a number of the transcription services, and they say that it used to be that everybody did this, and it only adds a marginal amount to the, perhaps less than 10% to the cost of the operation. However, lately, they are being outbid by a new group of people, mostly who send their work abroad, and that do not check it and wait for expensive attorneys to come in and to make formal challenges to the system, and they are complaining that this sometimes has really dire consequences because you have to pay people a lot of money to go through and do this if it is not already assured. This is a common good.
Great, great. You're speeding up again.
All right, thank you.
Have some mercy for our interpreter.
I'm sorry. Perdoname. Thank you, Jack. In a recent case, I went through and in a sampling of initial pages, and there was a significant error that changes the sense of what was said every three pages, and there were almost every page had some error that perhaps some people would find that. Would change things. And you start to go through 1,000-page transcripts. It seems that this is a common good. It was an ordinary practice, but now it is being corrupted. So that's the reason why I think that we ought to not allow a race for the bottom in ways that the costs are transferred to potentially poor ANCs and other applicants. Sure.
Is it necessary to specify of every word as opposed to a quality control check by itself?
I will take that as a friendly amendment. When I first wrote this, this was after I spent a couple of days trying to wrestle with this phenomenon and to talk with some of the services to find that this is occurring across the government of corruption of taxes. Five. Your concerns and critiques?
No.
Six.
Explain that, if you would.
All right. Let me give this a specific example of a recent case involving, would you believe, the Mount Pleasant Library. However, it has been noted in a number of other cases. Two of the board members say that the BZA has a policy to give great weight to the zoning administrator's rulings so that the burden of proof is on any appellant to make the overwhelming case that the zoning administrator's ruling should not be used. Two of the board members protested about this whole thing as being a canard, and they used very colorful language to say essentially this, the whole thing is evidence of a corrupt practice. And in fact, the law contains no such BZA, no such prior ruling. It is not the practice in similar bodies around the country. This has been introduced uniquely here. And thirdly, it is against the Administrative Practice Act, whereby policies, if they're to be used, must be codified and submitted to the council for approval before they can be used systematically. Jack.
Yeah, I think this requires some translation.
There's a discussion in the why.
Because what you're doing here is saying that they should not use prior cases as precedents for guiding current decisions, that they should be guided only by the actual regulations. Is that not correct?
That's not my intent. My intent is to get them, and we have put in similar resolutions to some of the other independent groups like ABRA, where you have to, I've discussed it with ABRA attorneys, the so-called alcohol bar, and they say they make a very good living because nobody can keep up with what the recent policies are. Whereas according to the Administrative Procedures Act, if they have a policy that they use, they must codify it for everybody's benefit so you don't have to master 100,000 pages of rulings. And it should be clarified and approved by the council. That is the law. And so this is essentially asking that they follow the law. And if they're going to use policies that so radically change normal practice and rule out their oversight of the function of the zoning administrator, that they're going to have to go and change the law. And the council needs to put backbone in the system because this is a major loophole. Jack.
Yeah, I'm still unhappy with the phrasing of this because when you talk about bios of future cases, what you just said is that they should not establish policies based on prior decisions.
Could you write that down? Unless the policies are published and confirmed by the DC Council.
Yeah, I want to make the first part of this lead to the second.
Yes.
I have a concern about that, just because not all regulations that are issued require confirmation by the council. Some regulations don't need to come back to the council for approval, and I think the Board of Zoning Adjustment, I'm not sure if all of their regulations have to be approved by the council. They may have the authority to do their own publishing and finalization of rules without it having to go before the council.
Actually, the Zoning Commission has that right. Because the Zoning Commission is legally not under the DC Council. The only way the DC Council can influence the decisions of the Zoning Commission is through the approval and amendments to the comprehensive plan. However, the Board of Zoning Adjustment is different. And they are covered by the Administrative Procedures Act. Jack.
What I have written now is prohibit the determination of BZA policies on the basis of prior BZA rulings unless the policies are published and confirmed by the DC Council.
Very good. So we have marched through this. Jasmine, do you have comments, sir? Good. Jack, is there anything that you, major change that you require to
that your vote? I would move the vote at this time.
You would what?
Move the vote at this time.
Because I'm willing to make further changes.
I assume that China is.
I can't support it with election in there.
Okay.
So I won't be voting in favor.
Is that your position too, Jack? We're not going to get it likely, but it will just add to the momentum of consideration for this.
I would feel a lot better about this if that said selection rather than election.
Then I'll accept your, so that we can have a larger majority will help. Because these are serious, serious issues. Okay. Other battles, other days. Okay, we're ready to vote. All in favor, let's try a hand vote. All in favor of this?
I'm sorry, I just want to check. Did we just change?
Yes.
What is it now? Can I see the entire thing again? Thanks.
It now says selected, not elected.
I still don't understand the purpose of the staggered four-year terms if we already have... if the terms are already staggered, because why would we make the terms now consistent with the election year?
That's a good point, and I'm wanting that so that what happened to this board, and certainly has happened to others, that immediately after the election, the mayor then the boards suddenly switch their behavior very quickly. And with the three-year terms, then very often there is a large enough turnover to switch the direction of the board immediately. And I believe the intent of the progressive movement to have independent boards is to make the change more gradual. However, it is something that I'm willing to, in the interest of trying to get a larger majority, I'm willing to accept an amendment.
My amendment would be to delete that sentence altogether.
Can I hear from other commissioners about how they feel about this? Jasmine?
I don't know, but because it's, we were both ready to vote for, you know, elected. Why you move this elected? I mean.
Here's why. I would like to come back with a more detailed analysis of why we should propose this change generally and then apply it once we have thought about this to each commission as it comes up for comment. Because many people like it, but many people are, they prefer the old DC politics way. Jack, may I hear your opinion on this change? I've given my reasoning, and it may not convince you.
I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other.
All right. Then it appears to me that if it's 3-1, it would not seem so close. So if that's the way the vote will go, then I will retain it in the interest of maintaining greater independence by the boards, by the board.
So the outcome is that the sentence in question will remain?
Yes. If it fails, I'll make an amendment to change and ask for reconsideration, which is, I believe, legal to do. So we are voting now on it as it stands.
Could you scroll down, Jack, so that I can see the rest of the amendment? Unless you're changing it real time on the web. Okay, can you just scroll down so that I can see the rest?
China.
Yeah.
I have a great deal of difficulty understanding you.
Can you scroll down so that I can see the remainder of the changes?
What specifically do you want to see?
No, that's it. I just needed to see the rest of the resolution.
Okay.
While she's doing that, may I explain to Jasmine that one of the things that I'm seeking in getting more enthusiasm from Jack is that he is a very potent lobbyist. And if he feels good about this, then if he puts his shoulder to the wheel of lobbying these changes, then I think we have a better chance to make a full step right now and complete more steps at another time. China.
My other concern is just on number 6. I do think that visa rulings should be allowed to inform policy going forward because it's just not realistic or possible to expect that every single thing that someone could argue that amounts to a policy needs to have been confirmed by the council. So I think that the way number 6 is worded places an undue burden on the Board of Zoning Adjustment, where every single thing that they do will then be subject to some kind of challenge because theoretically maybe there was a policy.
May I accept this as a point and suggest, see if this would satisfy you. Insert the word substantial.
No, I think what would work probably for me is prohibit the determination of visa policies.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding you.
Hold on, let me think a second. Because what's substantial is my concern, you know?
Well, you know, these are things that courts often do, and they apply a rule of rationality where they look at similar cases, and then they very often get checklists to begin with the things that are substantial. And yes, Jen.
I am very much in favor of Greg's argument that it is unreasonable to ask people to go through all prior BCA rulings to determine the precedents which may govern a current situation. I think people should be able to look at the zoning regulations and understand them as they are written and not have to go back to years of case law, as it were, to find out what a current decision would be. I'm a strong believer in the regulations that we have to live by should be available in writing and not hidden away in some mass of precedents from past decisions.
So the word substantial would not... Good. So I think we've... is there any other consideration?
For me, substantial will help because I think that it is okay to have to go back through rulings to look for precedent, and I don't think that every situation can be anticipated. And again, like I said, I think it creates an undue burden on the Board of Zoning Adjustment to be worried about whether, you know, everything now needs to become a policy. I think it creates too complex of a web to navigate, even
rather than me worrying about this. I want to my role is to participate collegially with the commission. May I treat this as a motion to amend, second it to facilitate the process, and ask for a vote on whether the word substantial should be put in? Seeing no objection, apparently there's going to be no more discussion because I think we can move along. All in favor of inserting the word substantial? All opposed? Three. Okay, now we can move, I think, to the main vote. All in favor of this motion, which is to replace the earlier tabled resolution, signify by raising your hands. Three. Four. It's unanimous.
Wait. What was the vote?
Well, I thought I saw your hands.
You did, but then I just want to make sure I know what I voted for.
Okay, it's 4-0 for substituting this for the original tabled.
Yeah, I'm fine to vote in favor.
Okay, so it's 4-0. Thank you. I think we really worked together on this. And it's a much better, clearer document. And I want to particularly thank Jack.
I think you just exhausted us all. And you put the audience to sleep, too.
Well, I also want to thank Jack because he went in and edited it and trimmed out a lot of ornery-isms. Thank you, Jack. Shall we move on? Jack.
Yeah. Let me recite those which are on the list. I didn't have time to prepare a list of topics. Number two is supporting Mayor Gray's alcohol initiative. Number three is expedition in moving the urban street loading zone. Number four is expedition in moving the Mount Pleasant Street bus stop. Number five, we're already done with that.
And Jack, would you allow...
And number six, excuse me, this morning. Okay.
Oh.
Number six is ward zoning hearing advice.
Which we've just done, I believe.
Beg pardon?
Ah, yes. To relieve the monotony of my resolutions and not seeing any from Jasmine and China. Jack, would you, since we would need to, perhaps you can remind me of the rules for amendments to the bylaws. Don't we have to read them once?
Oh, thank you. I had forgotten about...
And since the other parts of our web policy are just in resolutions, may I make the suggestion that we treat your motion, your draft resolution, as a regular resolution?
That's all that's required, yes. There's no special procedure.
And not an amendment to the bylaws. So can we call that up now? I think it's
just a point of information. How many resolutions are we committing to address tonight?
Depends. When a majority, a motion to adjourn is always in order.
Okay.
So this, I think, will be fairly simple. Jack, would you read it? You've accepted my friendly suggestion to treat it as a resolution.
Resolved that the ANC 1D bylaws be modified by the addition of the following paragraph. Article 15, Miscellaneous, Section 8. Data required for access to and modification of Internet sites serving the Commission, such as the login name and password for the online checking account, shall be provided for safekeeping to the Executive Director of Advisory Neighborhood Commissions by the Commissioner in possession of such data. Said Director is to provide these data to another ANC 1D Commissioner upon receipt of a resolution passed in a public, properly noticed Commission meeting specifying the transfer.
Point of information, why wouldn't we put this in the bylaws?
Oh, we need a second.
Excuse me. Jack, I will second this if you do not phrase it as a change to the bylaws and just being an ordinary resolution.
Why should it not be in the bylaws? I mean,
because I think, I don't mind, but I thought there were...
Well, whatever, this is we're simply stating policy.
I will second this, and I will admit that I don't remember what the bylaw says about the requirements for notice for changes.
I'm sorry, you're questioning what's in the bylaws concerning...
Amendments to the bylaws.
There is nothing... There's no special provision in the bylaws for amendments to the bylaws.
So we can do it done by a with a majority vote at any time.
That's correct.
Why don't I
check to be sure?
In the meantime, so we can move on.
I'd like to make a motion that we table it, because to me this is something that does belong in the bylaws, and so if it can go in there and there's not a concern with that, then I would make a motion that we table this until we find out the answer, because I think it's better in the bylaws than in the resolution.
I'm going to comment, and that is that my proposal is that we pass it right now and then find out what to do to put it in the bylaws and then put it in the bylaws.
Let me suggest there's really no hurry about this. I'd be perfectly content to table this and take it up next month.
How about passing it now so we can get it in going?
I don't think we need to do extra paper. If there's not a concern, and then let's just deal with it next month.
Why? There is. I implemented this policy 7 years ago or something, and it has worked pretty well.
What policy?
This one.
Okay, well, if it's been going for 7 years, I feel like we can wait until next month.
What do you say?
I'm sorry, I
said that if it's been happening for 7 years, 30 days is not going to change the world.
Let me point out that this hasn't been happening. I wasn't aware that this was even an informal policy. I think the question at hand is whether there is a special procedure required for changing the bylaws. And I think it's important that this be in the bylaws so that it is truly binding. So I'd be perfectly happy, I think, to have the resolution introduced and then tabled until next month, where it will come up as unfinished business.
Okay. A motion has been made, and you second it? Or I second it. And then an amendment was made. It's been accepted. So we can now move to tabling it.
Well, where was this amendment? There's no amendment. Wait, let's just leave it at this. The resolution exists. Resolution has been brought to the table. Now it can be tabled until next month. We will deal with it next month.
I considered this to be an amendment to the current bylaws. Because it falls under the section of the bylaws of how to amend it. Just to be clear.
You're using amendment in two different senses here, which is what is confusing. You're talking about amending my resolution.
No.
So don't use amendment, please, in that sense.
I did not. You're right.
There's a resolution on the table.
Yes.
Which is a change, which proposes a change of the bylaws.
Right, and it is my sense that this falls under the bylaws section of how to amend the bylaws.
Right, so we will table this, and then we will deal with this.
All in favor of tabling this at this time? 2. All opposed? 2-2.
Point of information, since Jack is the introducer of the resolution, he can just also withdraw it, right?
No, not after it's been, after it's failed.
The motion didn't fail.
It did.
The motion to table failed, not the...
Oh, the motion to table did. You're correct. Thank you. So it's still on the table. I mean, still up for discussion. Jack, would you accept my friendly amendment to just pass this as an ordinary resolution, and then we will pass it as an amendment next time? That way, it'll go through in 15 seconds, I think, and we'll be done with it.
You are proposing that this be rephrased as a policy rather than as an amendment to the bylaws.
For the moment, and I pledge my full support next month once we've clarified the procedure for amending the bylaws.
Okay, just to move things along, I will make the change.
Good. To move things along, let's now vote on this.
Let me make the change, then we vote.
All right.
Reads now. Resolve that the policy of A&C Wendy shall be as follows. Data required for access to, etc., etc.
Fine. I had already seconded it. This is an amendment to it. So it was a friendly amendment, and we don't need to vote it. All in favor of this as now stated. We're now passing this as a policy. 4-0, unanimous. There are just a couple of items left tonight. Let me see if get a quick sense of. I think the alcohol initiative, for the reasons stated, there's a council hearing on this coming up in tomorrow. And for the reasons stated, it would have it could add a good deal of money to the policing of our strip, and likely add a
make the resolution, please.
All right, let me proceed. Resolved, ANC1D advises the District Council and the Alcohol Beverage Control Board to proceed with the Mayor's proposal to extend hours of service for sales off premises and to increase sales tax on licensed beverages from 9% to 10%. To foster local adaptation, the bill should be amended to direct the board to issue regulations whereby immediately impacted within 600 feet of the licensees, ANCs may choose to opt out of any for any commercial corridor. Here, a commercial corridor means an area that contains, which contains 10 or more licensees, which form a series each within 300 feet of another in the series. Obviously, the board needs to balance out the advice to the extent that the interests of two ANCs in the 600-foot impact areas overlap. The ABC board may disregard the advice of an ANC recommending opt-out when the viability of licensees that make a distinctive contribution to the creativity, diversity, and vitality of the neighboring society is at stake. Appeals using this defense must make quantitative estimates of the impacts and how distinctively different are their contributions. I'm seeking a second.
Point of information before the second.
Before we just need a second. Need a second.
Okay.
Jasmine, would you second? Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Now discussion.
Okay, so then I'll go to actually a different question because now since we're in discussion. My question then is, in plain English, what does this resolution want to do?
Number one, it extends the hours, the current hours of alcohol sales outside of bars and restaurants for 2 hours from 10 o'clock to midnight. Number two, it ups the sales tax from 9% to 10%, and the mayor's budget directs this money to a program which is already used by a number of our licensees, whereby it matches the pay, it halves the rate for hiring of police officers.
Let me actually clarify. So far, I understand that what you said is the mayor's proposal. So what is this resolution proposing that's different than the mayor's proposal?
Okay. What it does is that it allows an opt-out so that there can be local adaptations, because particular strips are very different all over the city. Graham invited me at the end of last year to a meeting of chairs of contested areas, and I heard the horror stories why you may want to, in some cases, to opt out. Secondly, it defines the impact of a zone of being 600 feet, because occasionally people that are a mile or two away come in and try to mess up the things for other purposes. So it's only immediate impact. Thirdly, it says that when an ANC is about to shut down a bunch of businesses that can show that they are distinctively different, just because they are different than the majority, they should not be wiped out if they can show that they are significantly different in making a contribution. You can think of Mount Pleasant, where a majority has in the past been a dictatorship.
I was going to say, or in this room, on this commission. But I think here is my concern. I can't support this, and here's why. I'm supportive of the mayor's proposal, number one. But I'm not supportive of the idea of an opt-out, because from a leadership perspective, it doesn't allow the city to plan the revenue it will raise. The reason that they are raising the tax from 9% to 10% is in part because the city needs money. The money will go back to the small businesses and so forth. So for us to then say different people within 600 feet can opt out, it creates a Swiss cheese diagram. It creates a Swiss cheese map of who's in and who's out. And it just, I don't think that's anything that can really be implemented successfully.
Let me go around the room before I answer. Jack, do you have?
Yeah. I am perfectly happy with the first line of this, endorsing the mayor's proposal. I think the rest of it is not supportable. Frankly, I have a whole lot of trouble understanding why there is a problem with a liquor store being open till midnight instead of till 10 p.m. I don't understand the social benefit of requiring liquor stores to close up at 10 p.m. I know a lot of people have late night lifestyles, and it is a convenience to the public to have, maybe a convenience to the public to have liquor stores open until midnight. I know of a specific case at home where at 10:30, we suddenly needed to purchase a bottle of wine, and we couldn't. Now, I don't see any good reason for requiring the liquor stores to close at 10. I'm perfectly in favor of the mayor's proposal to make that midnight instead of 10 p.m. I think all the rest of this simply gets in the way of that fundamental right. This ought to be about how these businesses serve the public, not about what's good for the businesses. I would not vote for this unless those second two paragraphs are removed.
Jasmine.
If in Maryland and Virginia working, why don't working in Washington D.C.? Is it supposed we need money in the 2 hours, make more taxes? I'm agree to the midnight. Because if they, another place don't have problem, why Washington D.C. has problem? We have problem anytime, you know. I don't know what is the difference, 2 more hours or not. I support midnight.
Fine, without any opt-out.
I mean the alcohol.
All right. Okay, it's 3-1 against me, so I will likely go with this. But I would like to explain more of that briefly, if I can. Please,
information.
No. Let me finish. It will be short. And that is that I know of commercial strips around the city where there is a large concentration of licensees, and where after people buy a lot of liquor and after hours, it isn't so much the behavior of the licensees, it is the culture that is supported around it, and at times you need to control that. So that's one part where I believe there are in fact good reasons for a local option, and I do not believe that for administrative convenience that the possibility of local correction and adaptation should be changed. On the other hand, local adaptation in Mount Pleasant, in the 17 years that I worked against the dictatorship here, showed me that it can be used for cultural cleansing. And I think there should be built in adjustments so that that cannot happen. However, I will. Let's deal with this by Jack. Will you formulate while I call on China? She had another comment. Would you try to formulate a way of adjusting this to the 3-person majority?
I would simply delete those two paragraphs to stop after the first line,
and perhaps delete.
Greg, let me point out. I think you are confusing licensees of restaurants and bars with liquor stores.
No, I'm not.
Because a liquor store, there is a law against public consumption of alcohol. How does a liquor store open till midnight change behavior in public? I don't see how it does.
That is a discussion I'd be happy to get into, but not tonight because the patients, there are several other things that I think we should go to. So my intent is this. Please hear me. Please formulate which points, including in the why, should be deleted, and then I will accept it as a friendly amendment. Okay, China, let me call on you.
No, that answers it. Because of the way you started, my point of information was whether you were withdrawing the amendment or whether you were amending it to be what Greg said, what Jack suggested.
Okay. So, do you have? Are you ready to excise your friendly?
Point out that I think the why statement is even more troublesome than the actual resolution, because the why statement focuses on why this is good for businesses. It's not our job to do what is right for businesses. It's our job to
move
the
things
public
along. Then I accept that we wipe out entirely the why statement.
Well, we certainly need some rationale.
Not likely, because the fix is in to do this. I don't know. That's not true. I don't know that to be the case. There's a good deal of momentum for this. So perhaps,
if you wouldn't mind, I would like to see something in the why statement
saying that this would better serve the public of Mount Pleasant.
Okay. Item four is the first three items of why support entirely the mayor's proposal. The only one that is different that supports having an opt-out is item four. So I propose that we strike item four and strike the second two paragraphs of the heading. Does that meet your criteria, Jack?
You're getting very close. I mean, I think it's very important that we vote in favor of the midnight closing.
Okay, so would you proceed? Do you have another statement you wish to insert?
Yes, I want to add something to the why, that a lot of people in Mount Pleasant keep late hours, and it will be a service to the public of Mount Pleasant.
Please write that down. Open. I think that's a short sentence, and we can dispense of this quickly.
I'm supportive of that sentence that Greg Jack just said.
Okay. Jasmine?
Well, Jack said, you know, the people, something, have something about the people maybe don't like it. Maybe don't like, you know, the extended hours. But I don't know what is the problem in Pleasant, because the old business sold beer, they close at 10 or 11. It's no effect to the people, but they don't, I mean, they close to before 11. We can pass the
like many of the grocery stores do, but not all.
Yeah, no, not only the liquor store, you know, the supermarket sold beer.
Yes.
Yeah, but Mount Pleasant is closed.
And they may be tempted.
I don't see any problem with the extended 2 hours.
Good. Okay, Jack, do you have a sentence ready?
Well, let's take a look at what we have at this point. The resolution is reduced to the first sentence, supporting the mayor's proposal. The why includes your statements concerning added revenue, the extra 2 hours, storage reporting declines, and then the sentence which I have added, many Mount Pleasant residents maintain late hours, and the later closing time will permit these retail stores to better serve the public.
Any discussion? Apparently we're ready to vote.
I still argue that your why statement puts way too much emphasis on helping out the businesses, where our job is to do what is right for the public.
For all DC, agreed. Do you want to strike anything? I'm just trying to move this along. Death is inevitable. I might as well not struggle.
I think number three is the one which really leaps out and says, hey, we're doing this for the benefit of the business. The liquor stores.
Strike it and make number four, number three then. Okay.
Done. I'm happy.
All in favor of this? Show your hands. 4-0. There's one more that we've had people waiting for 5 months on, and let me just try that and put off the bus one. Let me read it. ANC 1D advises expedition in moving the Irving Street at Mount Pleasant Street loading zone to directly serve the southwest quadrant of the 3100 block of Mount Pleasant Street. Resolved, ANC1D advises the D.C. Department of Transportation to expedite the moving of the loading zone now on Irving Street at Mount Pleasant Street, directly serve the southwest quadrant of 3100 Mount Pleasant Street. 1D asks for the intercession of D.C. Council and Council members Jim Graham and Tommy Wells in expediting this request. Is there a second? Thank you, Jasmine.
Second.
Good. Discussion. Jack.
Yes, as you know, we've already heard from the business people, from the Business Association, that they are happy with our preceding resolution, which calls for an assessment of the feasibility. And we haven't heard back from DDOT concerning that assessment of the feasibility. I think we should wait for that response before we rush into this.
Fine. Jasmine. You can help.
We're looking for this resolution because this is...
I will come back to you if you wish.
Pardon? I mean...
No, Regresoro. Si tú quieres. Tú puedes charlar en un rato. Más tarde. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. Let me answer this, because I thought about it. It appears to me that I don't understand why the Business Association actually represents the considered opinion of most of the neighboring businesses. On the other side, Negocios Unidos has submitted a resolution with what appears to me to be the majority of the neighboring businesses. I asked this be done because Jack told me that I think quite rightly that we should consult with them, at least the neighboring businesses in Ely. And next, the numbers of signatures is far greater than the numbers that attend the meetings of the Business Association. So the Negocios Unidos, at least in this case, has mobilized a much stronger number and proportion of the businesses near, especially those nearby, and I think they should be listened to because they represent a much larger group that is likely to be much more impacted. They've expressed their needs immediately and I'm afraid that DDOT will delay. We heard at our informal meeting that an AMC commissioner has advised at least one of the merchants in that area that they ought to play along with the staff of DDOT and their allies in Mount Pleasant. I take that as being a statement of more that there is more than an appearance of bias, and that there are vague consequences that could occur if people don't play along. In the 20s, when it was mafia-ridden, appeals courts ruled consistently that such should be considered to be threats. So it seems to me that we have, on one side, the manifest direct statement from a large number of people, a much larger number of people, and secondly, on the other side, statements that indicate bias and perhaps threats. And therefore, I strongly believe that we should stand by the larger group of merchants and in supporting this expedition. Expedition does not mean throw away the rule book. It means attempting to move things much more rapidly. Someone else would like to comment? China.
All right, so here are my concerns. I'm trying to understand what it is that we want. My understanding is that we want to move one loading zone from one block to another block, right?
No, just around the corner.
Okay, right. We want to change the location of the loading zone from where it is to someplace else. So we're not
100 yards.
Right, so we're not talking about adding a second loading zone, right?
Correct.
Okay. But then what happens to the bus stop?
Bus stop is not being considered in this. Thank you. That's very courteous. The bus stop is not considered in this resolution. It's a separate issue.
So, but the loading zone is supposed to go in front of Haiti, where the bus stop is.
No. This makes no mention of Haiti, and the strength and the distribution of the merchants who signed the petition of Negocios Unidos, which is a legally incorporated association, They're distributed all around that block, and it seems to me that it would then, that DDOT and others would probably place it somewhere that is convenient to most of these places. This is not
okay. So just south of Irving.
This is not done for fear or favor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's my concern. I talked with Jim Graham's staff, and so I know that getting the loading zone is possible and can be done probably with relative quickness if there's not a need to move the bus stop. So that's my understanding. I don't think that this is necessary, this particular resolution, because I also saw the letter from Alex Kramer from the Mount Pleasant Business Association. My understanding is that Don Juan, the owner of Don Juan's, Alberto, he's the vice president of the Mount Pleasant Business Association. Here, Mount Pleasant is on the Business Association, and then also this ANC. And I'm not sure, are they still operating the Latino Economic Development Corporation? Are they still in operation?
Yes, they are. But
okay, they're also partners with the Mount Pleasant Business Association. So I'm not concerned then that there's not adequate representation from all of our minority groups on the Mount Pleasant Business Association. And I think that we should allow, just as Jack said, an opportunity for DDOT to respond to our initial request for the feasibility study. If DDOT responds to our request for the feasibility study and they say no, or we don't have money, or we can't get to that now, then I would be inclined to support this. But I think we owe DDOT the courtesy of being able to respond to the first resolution. Second, I think that we owe the president of our Mount Pleasant Business Association, which represents diverse constituents from every group, the opportunity to see how this impacts other businesses.
Let me say just very briefly now that I've talked with Alberto and many others, and I am not at all convinced that just because some of the leaders talk with each other that this represents the considered opinion of actual individual businesses. And therefore, without further proof, none of your arguments for me have an evidentiary basis.
Okay. I don't know what happened with Mount Pleasant Business Association, but anyways, I have the proof that all business in Block 30 and 31 signed up for the loading zone. You know, I have the proof what I take the signature. And suppose the people, the business in this Block 30 and 31 is member for Mount Pleasant Business Association, and they sign, they say they need, you know. Do you remember the last meeting, the formal meeting, we told you something about? It's the Block 30 and 31, leading the loading zone. And China says something about the bus stop. 7-Eleven has a bus stop next to the loading zone. I don't know what is the difference with the, you know. But we need, I say we need, but I'm Latin. You know, I represent my community. And the Latin people say why they don't give the loading zone, because the 3145 Mount Pleasant Street, we have the loading zone, but after they build the West Barn, they eliminate the loading zone. We don't have another one, you know. Is it for Block 30 and 31?
Good. Jack?
Yeah, I'm concerned about this insinuation of threats. Now, I don't see anything in this letter from the Business Association that can be construed as threatening.
I didn't say so.
But that was... Then
was not my intent.
Yeah, I really don't like the approach here of virtual intimidation, that we've got to support this, or we're endorsing threats against businesses, or we're aligning ourselves with a certain faction in Mount Pleasant, or we're opposed to Latinos, or all those things. Because we have a perfectly good resolution out there calling for an assessment of the feasibility. I see no reason why we should be rushing off to bypass that rather than insisting that that be expedited. If you wanted to expedite the assessment of the feasibility, that would be wonderful.
That's what it
says. And no, that's not. This calls for moving the loading zone.
No, it just says expedition.
Greg, can I speak?
Sure.
Will you allow me to speak once in a while? I do not like this atmosphere of intimidation.
Nor do I.
And I think, frankly, for that reason, in a response to this atmosphere of intimidation, I am not going to vote for this resolution. I think we have a perfectly good resolution out there, and people should be using their influence to make that come to pass. And then we can make a perfectly reasonable judgment based on what that assessment is. That's where I want to go.
As I noted, there are several errors in your characterization of what I said. I will not repeat them, but I will say that I think that this is a very serious situation where there are people in official capacities that are in fact being reported in our meetings here as making statements that have the appearance of felonious threats and of illegal bias. And by raising these, I will not be intimidated by statements by people that say that to raise these things is in a public meeting is worthy of reaction and not considering the merits of the case, especially when so many people, so many merchants have specifically signed this. So I am happy to have the lines here clarified in this ANC so we know where people stand. China.
I just want to make a motion to allow for 1 minute of public discussion for the people in the audience who have raised their hands.
Any objection? Okay. Each person gets 1 minute. Once you have the mic.
Thank you. I really appreciate, because I have received the letter from the Vietnam Association, and I'm going to be clear here. I'm not threatening nobody. I don't feel intimidated. We only ask him to help us. And it's very strange that I see the letter from the Vietnam Association, because we approached the Vietnam Association a long time ago to hear our concern, and they paid deaf ears to us. So then we organized with the Negocios Unidos alone. We asked the business association to support us, and they never did nothing, not even consider speaking it to us. We haven't heard from any of them coming to talk to us. We asked, can we have a meeting, can we talk? And they never paid attention to what we were asking for. So now we move along with our organization, with Negocios Unidos. Suddenly I see this letter. This letter is based, I don't know on what, because they haven't spoke to us in any way. So, I don't say they threaten us, but have they spoke to us? No. And maybe this helped the ANC, because we haven't heard from them.
Thank Good. You. Anyone else would like to speak? DJ.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to get this the right way to you guys, to get a recommendation, because I mean, I understand that you guys have already one, but can we get the one that obviously will help more? I mean, the new recommendation that will make it better. I mean, what is that? I even don't know who they are. I mean, I kind of heard of them, but I don't know who they are. So they need to show up. Because, you know, like, hey, who are they? Where did they pop up from?
Thank you. Anyone else? Heidi.
I just want to know, all the time this loading song come out, raise the people up, the blood up. Why? It's a simple matter. We just need a service. We're doing business. And I just spoke with the civil rights attorney of Latin and Ola. He said, you should get it. You don't have it. Everybody else have it. That is a discrimination. It's something simple. You don't have to get angry. Nobody has to get angry. It's a service. I'm doing a business and I'm paying the highest taxes in Mount Pleasant, you know. We do really good. We contribute to the city and to the neighborhood. Why? It's something simple. Please, don't take this like it's like the worst case in the world. It's a need for the community. You remember 38 musicians show up, everybody live in the community, in the informal meeting. You remember? Chad, Jasmine, Greg. We got the support. Our enemies say no, but they don't rule the law. Please, you have to help us.
Now I'm going to go through another round and around the table. Jack.
My position remains that we have a perfectly good resolution out there calling for a feasibility assessment, and we should press to have that completed.
All right. Jasmine.
Okay. We need the Lorenzon. This is what I say, but because this is a lot of business. You know, Latin business, especially, is 90% in Block 31 and 30. We don't have Lorenzon. I don't know what happened. Mount Pleasant Business Association, I don't know these people. Really, I have 16 years. Only one time when they need something in Block 32, everything is okay. Okay. The people think, it's not me, the people. My neighbors say, why the ANC, why the business association, why the MPNA made discrimination to us. I say, no, it's not true. I mean, for ANC, I don't know another civil association. The people say, please help to us, okay? I'm Jasmine, I'm Latino. Please, can we help to the Latin people? We need the Lorenzon, please. You know, I don't know what happened, but there's some people did the OT, the best friend for the some people business association. They don't like help to the Latin people, especially Block 31. We can involve these people's game, where we represent the community, no business, no Mount Pleasant Business Association. Please help to the people. We can do it.
Thank you.
Just a couple of quick points of information. What are the businesses that are currently in front of the loading zone where it is now?
Well, the loading zone placement has not been determined. We simply ask that it be in that series of the...
No, she's asking about the one on Irving Street, which is adjacent to Lee Irving or Clickers. If we're talking about moving a loading zone...
Which are right there. The only one that it's in front of directly that serves is Irving Liquors, and they have signed the petition for moving.
And that's the only business in front of the loading zone where it is today?
Ursula's is across the street, and Ursula has also signed the petition asking for it to be moved.
And Nana, or are they served by a different...
They, according to the standards that Wilson Reynolds has researched,
mm-hmm.
He said the standard is that you put a loading zone on each side of every block.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes two, when you can show that there is an unusual amount of activity. For example, here,
okay, hold on,
we have a lot of trash loading.
Just to help us get out of here, just time out for a second.
Please don't interrupt me.
Yeah, but hold on, because I'm supportive generally, so let me just finish my question. So otherwise, so aside from Ursilius, who signed the petition, did Jackie Flanagan sign?
I don't know.
Okay.
Did Jackie...
But otherwise, on that block, there's just the laundromat and then the Chinese food place.
Jasmine just said that every single business along that section signed.
Yes, the old Block 30 and 30 and 31, everybody signed the petition for the Lorenzon.
The owners. Okay.
You know, and it's funny because there is some business, is member for Mount Pleasant Business Association, and they signed that they need, they want.
Okay, I'm comfortable then supporting this because initially I wasn't planning to. I agree with Jack that we need to wait on the response from the feasibility study, but at the same time, if the businesses that are currently benefiting most from where the loading zone is now have agreed to have it moved further away from them, and all of the owners of those businesses have signed this petition supporting the change, then I'll support this motion.
Thank you. Then I will only make one comment, and that is that I think the resolution has been mischaracterized. It just says, advises DDOT to expedite, ask for intercession to expedite, And expedition does not mean cutting out any steps. It means just simply paying attention to move them north.
Now, I think Jack characterized it correctly because this is asking about moving the zone without doing a study first. So I think his characterization is correct.
That is not what this says.
I think Jaina is correct. And I think that this resolution would be quite acceptable if it said to expedite the assessment of the feasibility of moving the loading zone. If you simply change that, everybody would be happy.
Including a quick survey to assure feasibility.
We've already got the request out for the...
But this says expedite. That's different. This only says, doesn't say cut out any step. It just says expedite.
But it says expedite the moving. It says skip the feasibility assessment. We're going to move it. And that's what I have a problem with.
All right.
Now, this is why I'm saying again, if you change this, because your sense was, what you said a few minutes ago, was that all you wanted was to expedite the feasibility assessment.
No, actually, my intent was, I accept that there is another reading of this other than what I intended. So I'm looking for something. So I suggest that expedite the moving dash, including an expedited, including expediting the assurance of feasibility.
Point of information. I know that there's a commercial loading zone program, and under the regulations, my understanding is that the director of the Department of Transportation can declare a loading zone at any time. And so if all of the businesses that are currently benefiting the most from the loading zone where it's placed now have actually signed and those owners agree to have the loading zone moved further away from them, then do we still need the study? If under those regulations, I think they're in final rulemaking stage, maybe they're not quite effective yet, but they're about to be. But if I don't know that it's a change, though. But if under the regulations, the director of the Department of Transportation can declare a commercial loading zone.
I would certainly like to be a little more confident in these assertions that all the people who currently benefit from that loading zone are content to see it moved. I mean, I've heard that said, but we haven't heard from them directly.
Jack, I agree that with you, I think, because communication is always difficult, as we can see, and the best intentions sometimes are misread. But I would not want to have a loading zone moved into a place where there are serious reasons why it's not feasible. So I'm suggesting the small 3 or 4 word insertion after moving, after assuring feasibility. So dash, after assuring feasibility, dash.
Okay, I've inserted that as follows. ANC Wendy advises DDOT to expedite the moving of the loading zone now on Urban Street at Mount Pleasant Street, comma, after assuring feasibility, comma, to directly serve the southwest quadrant of 3100 Mount Pleasant Street.
Fine. It's not what I said, but it's good. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? 4-0, unanimous. Do I hear a motion? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Just this.
All in favor? Mount Pleasant ANC, third Tuesday meeting of April, is now adjourned at 9:51. Thank you all.
Okay, you are happy that you can only move the CSA issues. quite sure, but I know that I'm going to be the newest one anyway. And so I'm not sure, actually. But I'm going to head out because I'm tired, but you can email me about it later.
And again, thanks, I already gave them. Quarterly report.
Yes.
Bye bye. So I'm here.
That's yes.
My turn.
I didn't get my counsel yet.
That's not so. Fireball.
Yes. See. Sí.
Alegre.
Alegre. This is one that is like Laura Tamina.
Alegre.
This is medicine.
Los idiomas son muy similares. Well, actually, Jack, I thought that March to the meeting.
Yeah. I'm trying to find that.
Okay.
Sure that the receivers are